just about it. And the ball has gone in. Yes, the green flag goes up. Peter Duggan, back from Australia. What a tonic for Clare to get a goal before the break.
And now Owen Cody's gone around the back. Cody for Kilkenny. Opportunity for them here. Cody, goal!
Garrod Hegarty is coming over to gather the ball. The goalkeeper's on off his line. Hegarty shoots. Oh, goal for Garrod Hegarty. Low into the left-hand side of the net. Confusion in the goal. A massive score for Limerick.
Brian Hayes, can he put it over the bar? Listen to the roar. Brian Hayes, it's over the bar. Remarkable. A sea of red and white.
Hello there and welcome to the programme. It's a huge weekend of hurling with massive crowds expected for the All-Ireland semi-finals this weekend. It's also an important juncture for the Ladies Football Championship, and we'll chat about that also. But let's get straight into the hurling. Tomorrow, 6th of July, the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Semi-Final, Kilkenny versus Clare. And joining me now on the line are Owen Larkin and Podge Collins. Lads, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks, Damien.
Good to have you, Owen. Good to have you, Podge, as well. Lads, this is what we've been waiting for all year long, I guess. Just, Owen, can I come to you first of all? Just your general overall thoughts on this game.
Ah, look, I think it has the makings of a really good game, Damien. You know, I suppose this is where it really starts now. You know, knockout hurling, All-Ireland semi-final, and, you know, beating Munster final and stuff against us. So it's going to be a really good game, I think.
Podge, what do you think? Just bouncing back from the last few weeks for Clare, an All-Ireland semi-final, you know, they've shown maybe in the interim what they can do. What's the mood like down home, Podge?
Yeah, I suppose with the Wexford game, with the man getting sent off and kind of winning so comprehensively, it probably didn't show us a whole pile. The Munster final was very deflating as a Clare fan because there was a lot of optimism going down to play that game in Turles, and then it just didn't go our way at all. So, yeah, a lot of Clare fans looking forward to this weekend, but after two tough years of playing Kilkenny in semi-finals now, it's going to put more hope than optimism, really, but I'm just hoping the lads give a great performance and hopefully get a result.
Owen, is there a psychological aspect to this game, just with the previous meetings of the team, do you think?
I think there is, Damien, yeah. And I think, I suppose, as Pod spoke about there the last 2 years, I think, as a Kilkenny person, I expected more from Clare, and they're probably flattered to deceive on those occasions. But and then again, I expected a lot more from in the Munster final as well, and they kind of let me down a bit in the Munster final as well. So, look, it's going to be a huge psychological challenge for Clare. I think they know that. Going up, you know, they have a point to prove, and Kilkenny will have to be on their A game, I think, because if Clare do turn up, it's going to be a really tough afternoon for Kilkenny. But that, I think that's the big question. Will Clare turn up on the day? They seem to have, you know, Croke Park seems to be kind of a little bit of a hoodoo for them as well. So they have a couple of points to prove. But look, like I said earlier, it has the makings of a really good game. If Clare turn up, you know, Kilkenny will do what Kilkenny do. They'll turn up and they'll play the best they can. I don't think Kilkenny have been in top form all year. Mm. You know, they're still getting over the line as Kilkenny do, but they're going to need a huge performance, I think, tomorrow.
And Owen, do you think, like, I suppose it would be too dangerous maybe to read a whole lot into that Leinster final display, wouldn't it?
Ah, it is. I think Dublin were awful on the day, you know, and they let Kilkenny do what Kilkenny wanted, Kilkenny won easily, you know, without really breaking into third gear. But, you know, tomorrow is going to be a different kettle of fish, I've no doubt. You know, if there's anything in Clare at all, I think, you know, they have to produce a performance tomorrow. And, you know, even if things don't go well, they have to, you know, try and grind it out. And I think Brian Lowen will have instilled that. As Pod said, you know, the Wexford game kind of flattered to deceive as well with the sending off. It was kind of a no game after that happened, and Clare were always going to run out and win that one. So look, I think they'll be looking back at the Munster final and the previous 2 years against Kilkenny, and you know they know this is last chance saloon, I think, and they're going to have to get a big performance out tomorrow.
And as regards your own county, Podge, just in terms of Clare, then, is there any areas you feel that maybe for the last two or three games that need a bit of attention, even though the side has come back off the ropes fairly well and, you know, will be really fancying their chances against Kilkenny?
Yeah, like the Clare Kilkenny thing is funny. We've played Kilkenny in the league a lot of times and beaten them in the league. And like, while during those games, the Kilkenny team seem up for it and they seem as fired up as we'd be for the league games, it just seems Kilkenny just seems to bring this different level of intensity to championship games. And Clare have a horrendous record against Kilkenny in championship. But just like, I don't know what that is, because a lot of those league games, like, Kilkenny have their strongest team out and You'd know on the field, the way Kilkenny are, they're just so aggressive and they want to win. If there was a coin toss, they'd want to win it. But yeah, like last year, I suppose when we went away from the sweeper at halftime, Clare produced a much better performance. TJ was 100% from the frees last year. Clare missed a lot of frees, missed a lot of chances. Shooting efficiency was a lot worse than Kilkenny's last year. I do feel like that game last year was close, even though Kilkenny were deserved winners. So I'm just hoping now our free taking's flawless. We take all our chances. Obviously, TJ was missing in that league final that we've beaten Kilkenny in. But I, from my point of view, it's the areas when Clare seem to have a purple patch, we just need to be clinical because in, let's say, that 10 minutes patch in the second half against Limerick, even the Munster final, where we were all over them from the 52nd minute probably to the 63rd minute or something like that, it was 1-1. We'd miss 1-3 and the score was 1-1 in that period and we had all the ball, all the chances. So it's just when that purple patch comes against Kilkenny, we have to be clinical, and that's going to be the most important thing from a Clare point of view, that if we want to get over this Kilkenny team, our shooting efficiency has to be high, and we have to, when we get our purple patch, we have to take our chances.
And do you think, Podge, it's important for Clare to get off to a lightning fast start, or would it be kind of more adept finding a foothold in the game and gradually going from there? I suppose I'm just talking about the psychological aspect of playing them in Croke Park again and maybe the importance of getting off to a good start.
Yeah, and I'm not too worried about the psychological element of it. Like, I'm just, like, we've got some great players with great experience in good positions that, like, are going to treat this game as just another game. They're not going to read into the fact that they've lost two, let's say, the last two semi-finals against Kilkenny. And they're going to be a wounded animal after the Munster final. They were all very disappointed with that day. So, like, I don't think they're going to think too much about that, about the start or anything like that. Ryan Taylor is a massive addition to have on the bench as well. Just even seeing his name come up on the when they named the team, I kind of knew he was training, but just to see his name come up in the panel, like, that's a big boost. He was absolutely flying last year for us and obviously did the cruciate against Kilkenny. So that's a big boost for us. So we've everyone available. It's as good a chance as we're ever going to have against a strong Kilkenny side who like probably produced their best performance of the year in the Leinster final. So it's an interesting one from a neutral's point of view, from a Kilkenny fan's point of view and a Clare point of view. So we'll just all be revealed now tomorrow.
Yeah, and Owen, just as regards work rate for Kilkenny, it definitely went up a few levels in that Leinster final. You know, they're going to need lots more of that, I would imagine. But were you impressed with that work rate?
Yeah, obviously, you have to be impressed with it. But like I said, I don't think Dublin were really at it that night as well, so it's hard to read into it. They're going to need a lot more of it, and they're going to need every bit of it tomorrow evening. So, like, From a Kilkenny perspective, I think we're going up with hope, you know, and optimism as well. I'm just hoping Clare don't really turn up on the day, because I have tipped Clare from the start of the year. They have a really strong panel, but they've let me down on a couple of occasions. So I'm hoping Kilkenny can just raise it another notch, and maybe Clare won't be able to live with that.
What about the matchups, Owen?
Yeah, well, sure. Look, the obvious one is going to be Mikey Butler and Tony Kelly. I don't see that changing. It's worked for the last 2 years. You know, why would you change it? I think that's going to be a huge one. Paddy Deegan and Mark Rogers. Mark Rogers has a habit of kind of moving all over the field, and Paddy Deegan has that habit of just sitting back as well. So that's going to be an interesting one. I think the midfielders want to have a huge battle on their hands with David Fitzgerald and Colin Malone as well. So, look, there's matchups all over the field, Damien, and you know, whoever wins the most of them is going to essentially win the game. But I think Podge is right. Clare's shooting efficiency has to be a lot better than it was in the Munster final, and I actually think that Clare need a good start, you know, to get the confidence up. You know, if Kilkenny get the good start, you could see the confidence in Clare just seeping away. If Clare do get a good start, I think the confidence will come and that shooting efficiency will be there.
Okay. We might just get your opinion on Cork Limerick, lads, before we let you go as well. Podge, what do you make of it? It's going to be like, I don't know what the crowds will be like at the weekend. Big crowds expected over the 2 days. But Cork Limerick, I'd say stay off the N7 on Sunday anyway. How do you see game going?
I'm getting a lot of text messages for tickets, so that's usually a good sign that it's a bit of a sellout. So I'd say the Cork Limerick game is a lot harder to get tickets than the Clare Kilkenny game at the moment.
Yeah.
To be honest, I can't see past Limerick. I know there was kind of murmurs that Barry Nash might be available, but as far as I'm aware, he'd be named. And sure, you've Sean Finn and Mikey Casey in the two corners, and not too bad replacements to have. So just going off form, like I know like Cork have won 4 games on the trot, but just going off form and Limerick's kind of pedigree in the last number of years when they've got to this stage, it just seems to kick on. So without going into too much detail about it, I can't see Limerick losing this game.
Are you the same, Larky?
No, I'm actually, I've kind of doubted Limerick for throughout the year. You know, I thought Clare would take them in the Munster final. I think Limerick are to win a small bit. There's starting holes are starting to appear. I think, and like Cork have impressed me. I didn't at the start of the year. I didn't think Cork would be anywhere near, but they have impressed me throughout the year. The Limerick game that they played in the round robin, I think, was outstanding. You know, everybody, I think, thought Limerick were just going to kick on and win that game, and Cork fought back and got the win. So I think Cork are really well equipped. Their confidence is high. You know, they're big and strong in the forwards. The only question I would have is they let a lot of scores in. On the other side of that, they're well able to score down the other end. And they're big and strong down there as well. So I think this is going to be a lot closer than people think. And if Cork can keep the confidence going, that they've built up over the last couple of weeks, I think this could be really close, and I think Cork could maybe sneak it.
Podge, if they do win, we'll have Owen Larkin back here as Notre Dame in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
If they lose, he'll never be heard of again.
And I know, like, it's a fair point. It's funny, every time we played against Cork with Clare, with a lot of these forwards, a lot of the same players, it was always like they want it to be a shootout. And they want to beat you at a shootout. They're basically going to say that, like that Limerick-Cork game, I remember seeing the shooting efficiency for both sides. It was like 78%, 77%, which is unheard of. Unheard of. Like, if you told a Limerick person before the game you're going to shoot 78% and you're going to lose the game to Cork,
incredible.
They've laughed at you. So, no, it was incredible. And that's kind of what Cork do. They want to go out. They want to play hurling. They want to beat you at hurling. They want to outscore you. So, it makes that Cork Limerick game is one that's one for the ages. It'll go down as one of the greatest games ever. Hopefully we get a repeat of that. I don't think we will. That's just my opinion. I think Limerick are just going to be, they're going to learn a lot from that Cork game. I don't think they'll give Cork the same spaces, the same chances. So I do think Limerick will win this game.
Looking forward to it, lads. Thank you, Podge. Thank you, Owen.
Thanks, Eamon. See you.
No matter, Eamon.
Thanks, yeah. Lads. Two lads there again, delighted to talk to them as well. Now, before we look at Cork and Limerick, let's chat ladies football. Orla Keating from RTÉ Sport is here with me to chat about the weekend ahead. Orla, how are you?
Good, thanks, Damien. Looking forward to a busy weekend of ladies football.
What sticks out for you? It is a busy weekend. I suppose we'll go through the games first of all, will we, Orla? Like Cork and Waterford is on Saturday, right, at 1:15. How do you see that going?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think both teams they're on 1-1, so obviously Waterford got a league victory, but Cork pipped them in the Munster Championship. So it's interesting, both sides. Cork are very much in transition. Waterford have done well this year. They've maintained Division 1 status. Yep. I think the key point here, it's in Cork, and anyone knows in ladies football that Waterford is an awful place to travel to and try to get a win. So for Cork, I think that's key. But for me, I think Waterford will come out on top. They'll see this as a huge opportunity. They've been promoted. They were promoted to senior football in 2015 and haven't progressed past quarterfinal since that. So if you're looking at a weakened Cork team, there's an opportunity to progress. Obviously Ciarán O'Sullivan, Dermot O'Sullivan has stepped away, Eric O'Shea is not involved, but I think it'd be an interesting game. But I do back Waterford to come out on top here.
It's a huge opportunity, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, for them to go up against the Cork side mentally, you know, they would have played against Cork for those years that they had the dominance, but for them to go in, I think they'll be fearless. I think they'll go in with a plan, and I think they'll if they execute that, they should come out on top.
Orla, one game I'm looking forward to is Meath versus Kerry. Anytime these guys have met or these girls have met over the last few years, it's been incredible, really. What do you expect this time around?
Yeah, well, it's the exact same fixture that was in the Championship last year. They met in the quarterfinal, so it's funny that they're here again. But the big talking point now is the rumour mill has been going, and it's been reported that Vicky Wall is back training with Meath.
Wow.
What an addition for them to bring back the 2021 Player of the Year. And
that changes everything.
Absolutely. I think it does. I think it changes Meath's season because they need that change. They've struggled this year. This is their third management team since their last All-Ireland title, and that's only 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So a lot of change there. Players stepping away. Aven Leahy, Emma Troy, Niamh O'Sullivan. So to bring Vicky back, a player of that calibre, will just distract, hopefully, that Kerry defence. I'm sure that's probably the tactic. Whether she starts, I don't know. She's very fit from doing the sevens training. Saying,
even if she went on a solo run or an off the ball run, she's going to attract two markers with her at the very least.
Absolutely. But if you look at that Kerry side, they're also back now and they're starting to fly again. Obviously, they're in the All-Ireland final last year. They will feel they left that final behind. Mm. They will be on a mission to get back there, and Shifra O'Shea is back and playing a championship minutes, which is huge for them. She came on in the final last year before her surgery, for ACL surgery. But for her back playing championship minutes, scored a goal off the bench against Waterford, massive boost of confidence for Kerry. I still think Kerry will come out on top, but for me, what a boost in Vicky Wall, and I think they need that this year.
Yeah, it's a boost for everybody really involved in Gaelic games, to be honest with you, Orla. Dublin versus Galway, that's a repeat pairing of the men's fixture last week, and Dublin won't be looking for the same result, I guess.
Absolutely not. And Galway will be hoping to get a bit of the rub with the green, maybe.
Orla, can you see past Dublin at this stage even?
No, not this year. You know what they achieved last year, nobody expected them to win an All-Ireland, and to win the All-Ireland, but to bring back some of the old guard like Nicole Owens, Alwyn Carey, but to bring back Sinead Goldrick, a player of that calibre, to the group. And not only what she provides on the pitch, which is an immense asset, but what she does for the girls off the pitch. And I've seen her around the training sessions.
Is she just a pure leader?
Pure leader, warrior is what I would describe this player as, Damon. She's phenomenal.
She owes nobody nothing at this stage.
Absolutely not. And for her, I think for her to come back this year, they'll be wanting to get her up the steps on the All-Ireland final day to the Hogan Stand. It's a similar feel to James McCarthy maybe last year.
Yeah, she's well used to that journey up the steps as well. Okay, so go to our last game of the weekend then, Orla. Armagh versus Sunday. That's on Armagh versus Sunday. Do you hear me? Armagh versus Mayo on Sunday at 6:15.
Yeah, strange fixture. Strange fixture there. All right, I think it's going to be an interesting game. Armagh obviously off to a flying start this year, winning the league title. It's funny, those two teams were in the 2022 Division 2 league final and both have progressed now to win the league, you know, the following years of promotion.
No, Armagh are in the minor All-Ireland minor final as well, so it's obviously a caveat for that.
Yeah, and I think for Armagh, the way they started this year, they won the Ulster title, but they lost Amy Mackin, you know, in the Ulster final, did her ACL again. What a loss. To me, she was on track to have a David Clifford-esque season, and that's how highly I rate her and anyone in the ladies' game. She's a phenomenal athlete. We saw her in 2020, she won Player of the Year, but I thought this year she was on another level again.
It's really tough on her, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And the family, you know, the brothers as well. Like.
Absolutely. At one point, I think Blaheen had her shoulder, obviously her brothers are on her ACL as well. It's very tough on them. They bleed Armagh football, you know, it's in their family. So I think this game will come down to the way Mayo set up. They're so defensive. I think it'll come down to how Armagh prepare and how they can break down that defence, and if they can, I see them going over the line. But I just worry for Armagh if they're going to contend for a title, or even on Sunday, not to get ahead of ourselves, do they have enough firepower up front and scoring to without Amy?
Because that defence that they face will be fairly crowded.
Absolutely. That's what we saw a couple of weeks ago against Dublin in a group game. They very much clogged back, you know, nearly 15 behind the ball, gave Dublin a lot of trouble. They finally kind of broke it down and figured it out. But for Armagh, I'm sure they've been going over videos. They had a chance to look at Mayo. They've had a couple of games now. But yeah, they're very much a traditional team, or a non-traditional team. They pull back behind the ball and set up defensively.
So the tightrope is out this weekend, or there's relegation match as well. But is this the weekend really that the championship catches fire for the public imagination almost?
I think so. I think this is the weekend of it, not to disregard the relegation games. I think they are key as well. I think Tipperary will probably stay up, and I think they were unlucky to be in a relegation this year.
Close enough.
Absolutely, they were. You know, they draw to Armagh. They could have easily won that game. I think I got a chance to see it there in preparation for this. You know, they scored two quick goals and just were unlucky to not get over the line. I expect them to stay up. To be honest, I think it's Laois will probably be worrying about relegation. I expect Donegal to stay up as well. It'll probably be Kildare, Laois relegation final in a couple of weeks' time.
Orla, brilliant summary all around. Will you come back and chat to us in a week or so?
Absolutely.
That's Orla Keeling from RT Sport. Thank you so much, Orla.
Thanks, Damon.
Now we're back to hurling. Cork versus Limerick. Cork are one of the few counties with a strength on the bench to rival Limerick. Shane Kingston has recently made his impact coming off that bench for the Rebels. I'm sure Shane would rather start every game, but for him, he had an injury earlier in the year, and really it's all about the team winning.
I suppose I wasn't expecting too much this year, given that, you know, I got injured after the league, so I was kind of coming into the championship after pulling two hamstrings. So, you know, at this stage, I'm just delighted to get involved after missing the first championship game. So, like, I suppose just from that respect, having missed my first championship game, you're itching to get back. And whether that be 10 minutes, 30 minutes, you just want to be involved in getting on the pitch with the lads and playing for Cork.
And Shane, isn't it unbelievable the way the game swings like that? You had your injury woes at the start of the year, and then fast forward to Thurles against Tipperary, and it's like a tennis match. You're batting five balls over the barrel in the space of nearly 5 minutes. You can never imagine these things are going to work out like that, you know?
Yeah, I suppose it's just mad. I suppose when you do get injured, you just focus on what's the next most important thing, whether it be rehab, you know, recovery, getting the head right, getting, you know, diet. So look, whenever something like that, those setbacks happen, you're just trying to get back as soon as you can. So, you know, it was great to get back playing. And you know, as you said, for the Tip game, that was obviously a very enjoyable game. You know, kind of letting things happen, I suppose.
Yeah. How much do you have to trust yourselves versus looking at where you need to stop them or try and break them down? You can't just focus fully on yourselves with a team like them in town as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, they're obviously a very strong Limerick team, you know, arguably one of the best teams to have played the game. So I suppose, you know, going into any game, no matter who you're playing, you're going to analyse yourself and you're going to analyse the opposition. So I suppose you get that analysis out of the way, and then you just focus on yourself then, which is the most important part.
Limerick Cork, Shane Kingston there. We're chatting to former Limerick hurler Niall Moran, who's currently exiled in West Clare as we speak. Niall, are you doing okay over there?
We're just about them in there. We're trying to get the boats there off the land. I think they have us blocked, and there's a land block here around Clare for all Limerick people. So we're hoping search and rescue take us across the Atlantic. Celebrating the wedding of one of the former Galway hurlers there, Brendan Ganty, who played underage for Galway. We're none too better. So he married a famous sister of Kevin Hayes, and so I wish to have that opportunity to wish Brendan Ganty and Helena, now Ganty, formerly Helena Hayes, very best luck.
Wow.
So that was one match that was decided this weekend, but there's two bigger ones to go.
There are the famous Gantleys from Baha.
They're the famous Gantleys from Baha, and he's even in more infamous than famous now in this particular chapter.
Absolutely.
Best luck to the both.
Yeah, what a player Finbar Senior was, and his brothers and his sons Finbar, Rory, Brendan,
and
Joe.
Rory, yeah.
Yeah, and of course Niamh and the rest of the family as well. Anyway, let's move on to Limerick versus Cork. It'll be an unmerciful crowd in Croke Park on Sunday. Cork beat you guys in the championship, Niall, and will that have a little sting in the tail, do you reckon, for the Sunday coming?
Yeah, I do think it will, Damien, okay? And I suppose the first thing we have to remember is that game was probably 5 or 6 weeks ago, and it's fair to say that in both cases their form has definitely improved. But I know for Limerick, like, they were just speaking anecdotally to a guy who met some of the players in the direct aftermath, and he said they just looked grey in the face. They were so shocked. They're not used to losing. And to be fair to Cork people that night, Cork supporters, they really enjoyed that win. They were well entitled to it, but I suppose for the Limerick players there was a number of them, I think, warming down, and the subs were doing a warm down in the AstroTurf after, and I think they kind of got it both barrels from Cork in the jovial sense, but I think it reaffirmed to Limerick, look, they're so used to winning, and that pain of defeat, there's nothing like it, the fear of losing, there's nothing like it to drive lads on. And look, I think Limerick are in a great position coming into it. On the rumour on the ground is that the training, obviously, the last couple of weeks has been excellent, as you would always tend to hear, but given the fact that, like, Darragh Donovan, Richie English, Seamus Flanagan trying to return from injury, like Keane Lynch trying to return to form, I think Limerick are in a really good position going to this final. And I also think for Cork, there is a little bit of pressure on them to perform. It's a pressure that Limerick have been used to dealing with. But for these Cork players, like, their stock has increased incrementally since before that Limerick game. And I suppose, look, they have to try and back it up. And look, a small couple of question marks have arisen in the last two games. How much you could really read into them, I'm not so sure. Like, even in the Cork game, in the Dublin game, there were 20 points to 11 up after 45 minutes. And you know, in any man's language, that was a game that was probably won, and they just eased off the throttle and nearly paid the price. But they'll obviously, look, they'll be on the ball when it comes to Sunday.
Niall, Limerick have always found a way out of any puzzle that they find themselves in. But in terms of having to set up to kind of keep that Cork attack at bay, what do you think, there'll be much attention put into that?
I don't think there'll be any more attention than what they've previously given. To be fair, I think they'll have their matchups. I think they'll trust the system. I think the one thing that they might want to remedy from the first game was just on the breaks of puckouts. I felt that Cork, in fairness to them, they went long, which probably maybe surprised Limerick in some respects, and they played off the breaks. And look, when you're relying on that kind of game, you rely on fine margins. And on that particular night, the fine margins. The breaks, they ran Cork's way. I know Shane Barrett came on to a couple of great balls. So I do think from a defensive point of view that Limerick would have to track those runners and maybe stop it at source, i.e. block the runner onto the break before the ball comes. I do think that's the one takeaway that they might have had. Other than that, it's as you were. And I think for Cork that they're going to probably be presented with more questions than what Limerick presented the first day. And
right.
Look, Seamus Flanagan obviously was excellent, 3-3 from play. That day, whether he even starts on Sunday remains to be seen. But
that leads me to my final question for you, Niall. How do Cork defensively shape up then to try and smother Limerick's attack, which is nigh on impossible to do with the movement and the space that's there for them?
From minute one, from first ball, they have to front up, they have to go physical with Limerick, and they have to track the runners, they have to keep it going for 70, 75, 80 minutes. And that is the only way it'll work for Cork, because anybody who has seen Limerick, and Limerick hit a 5 or 10 minute patch similar to what Kilkenny would have done in the noughties, and they can hit you for 7, 8, 9 points. And the one fear that I'd have for Cork is they have, even in some of the games that they've won, like they have conceded big scores.
Yeah.
Even in that game below in Cork, they conceded 3.26. The previous game, which they lost to Clare, conceded 3.26. So, like, Cork are going to have to tighten up on it. And look, from a tactical point of view, I think both of these teams are going to go at it. I think it's going to be a real shootout. I don't think we're going to have the tactical kind of battle of minds that we might see the previous day in Clare and Kilkenny. So, okay. Look, it's a major opportunity for Limerick, but semi-finals are precarious games, and oftentimes, it's the game to get caught in. So,
all right.
Fingers crossed, more side.
Niall, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll chat to you again in a couple of weeks, please God. But that's it for now, folks. Hope you enjoyed the semi-finals over the weekend. Hope you enjoyed ladies' football as well. Good luck to all involved in the minor football final between Derry and Armagh at OMA on Sunday. Huge thanks to our producer, John Farrell, and to Dave Gibson, who was on sound. From myself, Damien Lawler, take care. Bye-bye.